Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil Advocates Radio Show, the happy hour, the Friday Eve edition, Dominic. We got a fine guest right from the top. He is former U.S. attorney, host of Morning Cannolis on Saturday mornings right here on the Civic Media Network, James Santel. Jim, welcome back to the, some say the greatest show ever, but perhaps second to Morning Cannolis.
Hey, Jim.
We'll fight that out at some other venue, but for today, delighted to be with you as always, both of you.
Well, Jim, I want to start with the breaking headline of the day. Brittany Griner has been released from Russian custody, apparently in exchange for a convicted arms dealer. And, Jim, I realize there are many, many considerations when these sort of deals are made, and there's a lot of political pressure being put on the administration. I'm not sure that I see this as fair exchange of value, Jim, but we're talking about human lives. Happy that she's returning to the United States, but want to get your opinion, counselor, on this exchange.
Right. All of those things are true. First and foremost, wonderful to have an American citizen coming back home. I understand she's going to be undergoing some health care, which is of some concern, but nonetheless anticipating her return uneventfully and returning to family and friends and to her spouse and others here. So that's the top headline news. That's great to see. When I was in Iraq, from time to time, I confronted some of these issues, not nearly at this high a level, but you recognize in those settings that there is a great deal of diplomacy that goes into all of this, and some very, very, very difficult decisions have to be made inside the State Department, certainly inside the White House, about balancing those interests that you just described. Not entirely certain, along with you, that this is a fair trade, if you will, in terms of the nature of the kinds of things that the Russian defendant committed in this nation, compromising our security with what Brittany Griner may have done there in Russia, having to do with a vial in her backpack. Nonetheless, again, in the diplomatic sphere, lots of difficult choices made. This is plainly one of them, appropriate for us to debate in America under the First Amendment. But nonetheless, a difficult thing. I have no doubt there were many people inside the administration who were articulating all sorts of views in all sorts of directions about how to get this done. Timing is also important, too. At some point, you realize you've got to bring this to a conclusion. And so time is also significant. Lots of things. It's not related to this, but also note, for example, that the State Department recently told a federal district court judge that that in the Jamal Khashoggi trial, that the crown prince in Saudi Arabia should have immunity. That, too, a very difficult State Department decision to make, probably the right one in terms of policy. But boy, it certainly strikes an awful lot of people as difficult to swallow.
Dom, if you want in here, I'll let you in because I've got other many topics.
With Brittany Griner, I guess I agree, Jim, totally. I'm just happy she's home. Was it an equitable trade in the sense that this guy was a super scumbag and Brittany Griner was just playing ball with a little weed? I mean, in that context, no. But the dude did do like 10 years. You know, I mean, it's not like he got off scot-free. And someone's got to make a decision. And yes. if it was a decision to either this is the swap or no deal, you know, I think I'd have made the same decision. I'd rather have something than nothing.
And that's not a close question. You've got to do something about this. Had to bring her home in some manner. And as I said, time is also of the essence here. You don't want her there forever and need to make that very tough judgment call in the end.
Jim, why don't you talk about the January 6th commission and their pondering whether or not to bring criminal charges. And my impression of your tweets that you were not very fond of that, Jim. And I think you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't, if you're the J6. But I wanted to get your sense. Where do you stand on the how wise it might be for the J6 to bring a criminal referral?
And Jim, they have named names. My understanding, the named names that they have put out there publicly are Mark Meadows,
all right,
John Eastman, Jeffrey Clark, and former President Donald Trump.
All right. All right.
And Rudy Giuliani, I believe, was on that list as well.
Okay. And that's interesting. I had not heard that before, but taking notes on all those, one of my, not concerns, but just my observations that have been a part of my communications with you and others is just this. We know that the Department of Justice, when it comes to January 6th, all the work that's being done in front of those grand juries, all the other things that are going on right now, Department of Justice does not need to have a criminal referral from the United States Congress. If I go and rob a bank, the head of Chase Bank or BMO does not need to call up the FBI and say, hey, there's been a bank robbery. Could I refer this matter to you? There's been a crime. And so those investigations go on. So part of my response is it's not absolutely necessary that there be referral made. I understand the public attention to this and the notion that Congress, yes, is making findings, if you will, about criminal exposure. What I wonder aloud here on in real time as you identify those names is whether these are criminal referrals based once again upon contempt. Because all those folks that you just listed, Mike, have obviously gotten subpoenas and have cooperated to greater and lesser degrees, mostly lesser degrees. We know already from the past that Steve Bannon's been convicted for that, Peter Navarro coming up for trial. Mark Meadows in the past, prosecuted upon a referral, but it may well be that those referrals could be the focus of those names. And in that case, there is a very specific statute that permits the Congress to make those referrals, and it's required that they do so. And so if the referrals are premised upon contempt charges, terrific. That is good. That is based upon, obviously, what the House committee itself has not gotten from them in terms of testimony and documents. And again, as I look at that list, all of them fall in the category of people with whom they have had outreach and attempts to get information, presumably not successful to this point. My only small observation is that when it comes to larger issues, if you are charging ultimately Donald Trump with seditious conspiracy related to January 6th, to use the language of the recent convictions and the trials coming up, you don't need the Congress to do that. The United States Department of Justice can go ahead under the federal criminal code and identify all those things. And everybody else, including Jeffrey Clark, arguably Mark Meadows, certainly Eastman, putting together this memorandum, you don't need a criminal referral from the Congress to say, hey, this fellow engaged in an awful lot of activity here. But again, if it's about contempt, then you do.
And Jim, has Donald Trump been subpoenaed specifically by the J6? Has he? To your knowledge, is that also so he would fulfill that criteria? As
he would be, yes. Yeah, they did vote the last time they convened, and I believe his attorneys have said they've accepted that subpoena. Presumably there in, who knows, discussions about that, not going to happen in the next 10 days. And so they may say, listen, even in the few days that have happened since we have subpoenaed him, we have not gotten a level of cooperation that we need. And so include him on that list of people for whom contempt should be considered by the department. Plainly, Donald Trump should be considered for an awful lot more than just contempt, as serious as that matter is.
Jim, let's talk about the matter of contempt in regards to the Mar-a-Lago documents. The Department of Justice, the special counsel, talked about moving forward with contempt against the Trump team. What does this mean, Jim? Is it their disdain, the fact it took them months to drag these documents out, the fact there continue to be classified documents popping up in storage sheds? Where do you think the contemptuous part is, Jim?
Right. Again, how long is the list here? We know from the history of this began well over a year ago with the with NARA figuring out that we don't have the documents that we should normally have in the wake of a presidency, and then multiple requests for it. We have in particular, again, letters requests, that may or not be a basis for contempt. We've got a grand jury subpoena that we recall predated the search in early August, and a response to that may have been middling and not complete. that could be the predicate for a finding of contempt of the grand jury, not complying with that. Representations made that we produced everything, those done, again, in connection with a court proceeding, the grand jury proceeding, that plainly turned out not to be the truth. You've got a little bit more difficulty there in determining the extent to which that was done intentionally or based upon what Donald Trump simply said. That could be an issue. We know as well, and this is where it really becomes significant, that in the portion of the affidavit in support of the August search warrant, there was that reference to obstruction of justice, right? It was just a one passing phrase, not a whole lot otherwise disclosed, all the rest of that presumably redacted. But there too, if there has been obstruction, that's obviously a criminal charge, a criminal event, but that can also partake of contempt. Contempt of the process, contempt of court, arguably, depending upon what other things are out there that we don't even know about. So there is a number of different possibilities here, given not only the continued discovery of more documents, but the representations and non-representations made by counsel, lack of compliance, lack of communication, all those kinds of things can also be the basis for contempt inside that very multifaceted proceeding.
Jim, if there were indictments dropped by the special counsel in the Mar-a-Lago case, let's say, for example, the paperwork crimes, how long, in your opinion, counselor, would it take to work its way into the courts to the point where we could have conviction? Because, of course, this man is an active candidate for the U.S. presidency, or so he claims. Jim, we could easily be beyond the point of a national election, could we not?
You could very easily do that. Again, this probably falls in one of those categories, again, where perhaps a different type of justice delivered to all of us as opposed to a former president. Let's suppose that there is an indictment issued on January 2nd. There is a thing called the Speedy Trial Act that requires that there be a trial within 70 days. Is that uniformly recognized? No, but judges have to make findings about complexity of the case. They've got to make findings about discovery, all kinds of things. You know, maybe the Mar-a-Lago case, while there certainly is a lot of documentary evidence out there, it may not be that there's a huge basis for a continuance and for extensions of time. But realistically, an indictment, let's say in January, it's possible you could schedule a trial, say, by midsummer. Unlikely, perhaps. Then you've got post-trial motions. You've got sentencing, which follows months after that. You've got an appeal after that, presumably to the D.C. Circuit Court, presumably to the Supreme Court. All of that gets you very, very close to January 20th of 2025.
That doesn't feel like swift justice. Come back more with James Antel, our good friend and fine radio host.
Get a great FN criminal defense lawyer. You're going to need it.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of Morning Cannolis on Saturdays, joins us. Jim, thanks for sticking around. On the multitude of issues, saw during the break here that Mike Flynn testified in Fulton County today on that particular case. Finally got into a grand jury about an hour. And according to the reporting of the Washington Post, there are several issues they initially wanted to talk to Flynn about regarding overturning the election, including martial law, seizing voting machines, you know, those kinds of things. Jim, one of many investigations still moving forward. In any sense on where Fulton County is sitting on this one right now?
Sure. And that one may well be just as far along as anyone out there. This is Fannie Willis, once again, the DA in Fulton County, who announced very early on that she is initiating this investigation, not just with respect to the former president's statement that he needs 11,280 votes. That was the thing that prompted all this. You could probably charge him tomorrow for that those comments made, that request made to the Secretary of State there. She is plainly indicated and referenced again by the fact that Mike Flynn is there, maybe testifying, maybe not testifying a whole lot in 1 hour today. But she is plainly looking beyond that, all focused once again on Georgia, right? What is it that all these people did to affect the Georgia election? That's what she's got jurisdiction over. So it's not the entire country, but it does include all the laundry list of things we've talked about, false electors, the Eastman memorandum, all those kinds of things. And the fact that Mike Flynn is there is a confirmation of the breadth of her look at this as well. I will have not yet seen the reporting on the timing of this. My guess is if Mike Flynn was there for a whopping 1 hour in all those areas, probably a lot of invocation of what we call the Fifth Amendment Constitution. And so I would expect that she was, he can do that, but probably not real, not a very productive afternoon for her or for the members of the special grand jury there in Atlanta.
Well, they got him on the record. One other one before I kick it back over to Crudy. Alvin Bragg, Trump Organization, Trump Payroll Corporation, guilty, 17 charges of various criminal fraud. You know, Alvin Bragg sat back on this. As we know, we've been critical to some degree, Jim. What's your sense now? I kind of thought as we saw this unfold that maybe he was just sitting back. He wants to make sure, you know, dots his I's, crosses T's. If the corporations are now found to be, you know, criminal enterprises, let's say, well, now that he can look at some of these other issues within those corporations, perhaps, and tie it to Donald Trump, which apparently the prosecutors specifically said at closing arguments that they have irrefutable proof that Donald Trump was involved in this. What's your take on Alvin Bragg's position as of now?
Sure. And I think there's something very much to that, Dom. We saw during the course of this trial that Donald Trump's name is on checks, right? Written to people, that his initials are on memorandums internal to his own companies there. And so in some sense, this may well have been, again, very significant in terms of criminal conviction of the companies. We can chat more about the implications of that. But not to make this just about a test run, but plainly, one of the concerns is whether or not somebody like Alan Weisselberg would be credible in front of a jury. And plainly, this jury found unanimously that if not completely credible, he was. And they found the overall corroboration of his testimony compelling as well. So Alvin Bragg now looks at this and says, gee, I've got a conviction of the CFO. I've got a huge conviction of the corporation itself. I'm going to prevent them from doing many, many things as a convicted entity out there. And I've got an awful lot of evidence, and plainly the jury looked at it and said, yes, that's credible. And he has said recently that the matter remains open as to others, including the former president. And so we don't know what is on his agenda. We know early on there were a couple of those prosecutors who left out of frustration that they were perhaps not permitted to go ahead with this. But again, we don't know all the insides on that. And so there is some reason to believe that he will continue to go down that road. Again, his focus on New York State criminal charges, not federal. That's also a companion up the street with the state attorney general, civil matter involving valuations and other financial issues there. $250 million request, an attempt to shut the Trumps out of any future supervisory roles in corporations. Lots of things going on in New York. This was a big one. The corporation conviction is huge.
Counselor, I apologize for my partner. Keep bringing up Alvin Bragg, wasting your time, sir. We are the Devil's Advocates. He is Jim Santel. He is the host of Morning Cannolis right here on the Civic Media Network, Saturday mornings, 9 o'clock. And Jim, I've heard you discuss the case that was heard before the U.S. Supreme Court this week. Moore v. Harper, that effectively would throw a lot of power to state legislatures. And the one here is very gerrymandered. We don't want that. We want state courts to retain their power. Jim, how do you think these arguments went? Have you been able to review any of the oral arguments?
I did. I listened to a little bit of it and certainly saw some of the other comments out there. And this is, again, fascinating for America. Maybe a little bit more reason tonight to sleep a little bit better than we would have otherwise, maybe 48 hours ago. This is the way it's playing out. Again, this concept, the independent state legislature doctrine, it truly is, as I've said in other settings, this is the legal version of the moon is hollow and JFK is still alive. This is just craziness when it comes to changing the way in which we vote and decisions made about that, who makes the rules. We've talked about that before. As to the Supreme Court and your specific inquiry, it looks as if we've got a horse race here. Plainly, we've got four members of the Supreme Court, the so-called conservatives, who probably will buy into this, again, completely refuted theory. But we do have John Roberts probably joining the so-called three liberals. So you've got 4-4. And who is the justice who's sort of right in the middle, also suggesting subtly, but clearly, that she's got some concerns about that? Wait for it. Her name, Amy Coney Barrett. And she may be the deciding factor in this. And so she's the one who, again, is expressing skepticism. probably would vote with John Roberts and the liberals saying, no, we're not going to do this. And so maybe we'll see in June, not quite the disaster that we were anticipating and still are concerned about when it comes to the adoption of this crazy, crazy theory that changes the way in which America goes ahead.
Jim Santel, always appreciate when you come around. Always appreciate when you inform the audience on Saturday mornings. Morning Cannolis with Jim Santel. Jim, look forward to seeing you Saturday night at the party, my friend.
Yes, always a pleasure to be with you, gentlemen. Looking forward to the weekend as well. Take care, everybody.
Right on. Thank you, Jim.
Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. Phone lines open, 844-96-2789.
Big and tall of political talk, the Devil's Advocates.
Jenny, can I turn to? Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. What I give, like 6 digits last time through?
Come on, man.
I was going to
844-967-2789.
Say it again for the people. Do it the party style.
844-96-PARTY.
But when you combine the two, it leaves the phone lines empty, leaves the people wondering, how do I call the greatest radio show ever? Thank you to James Santel, making it a little bit better today. Don't forget his show is damn good. Saturday mornings, 9 to 11. Morning Cannolis all across the Civic Media Network. You can listen on the app. The real patriots do that. Listen on the app, then I know you're listening. Seriously, I do. Not in a creepy stalkerish a creepy, way, but man, just like, I know what cities are listening at any given time, Dom. You know, I'm kind of a junkie for analytics. Dom, what have you analyzed for the audience? What's your takeaway for the show so far?
The more V. Harper, I'm a little more relaxed about that, given Jim's assessment that perhaps that will not come to fruition, that somehow the state legislatures can override the will of the people.
Well, before you get too excited, wait until after the Alito leak and see what it looks like.
Right. So I mean that there is some pause for you know a take a breather in that regard. So I remain hopeful for that. And of course, great news that the Respect for Marriage Act passed today. President Biden will have to sign that; it becomes law again. Good news, and Brittany Griner getting released. I know not everyone's happy with the trade-offs, but you know life's a bitch sometimes, and you rather get something than nothing. And again, that those are all good things. The fact that I did see reported on MSNBC that the House Judiciary Committee is going to be looking into outside influences at the Supreme Court. The Judiciary Committee apparently has some concerns that, you know, of course, we all do. We all have. We see what's going on over there. And the fact that, you know, Thomas is still on the bench, you know, listening to this Moore v. Harper case about state legislatures, when that's literally what his wife Ginny was emailing to people in different states like Wisconsin to justify, you know, overturning the will of the people. I'm not saying they're terminating the Constitution. That's a Trump thing. But, you know, if the people vote and your guy loses or your gal loses and you still want to, you know, force your person into office, you know, the Constitution doesn't mean much at that point.
844-967-2789. Just had to prove to myself I still knew the phone number here.
You got it, baby.
It's only been going on like a decade now. You know, you think eventually I'd memorize it. Dom, I want to hear from the audience in regards to the Brittany Griner, this swap, this trade, this prisoner exchange. I don't think I'm out of line when I say I think it was a bad trade. You know, not equal value. I'm a little bit of a horse trader myself, Dom. Like to negotiate. I feel like I could have carved out a better deal for the United States. I feel like we were a little too eager as a nation to get the return of Brittany Griner. We'd seen things in the press. What, you know, if that was King James, if that was LeBron James, you'd have been back in a day. Right? That was the early pressure, the early statements. This had obviously this issue, this imprisonment. It had dragged on through a trial, through a conviction. Well, trial.
Conviction. I mean, really, how is that a Russian court with anything? Again, I know you get it. You walk on, you're on their property. That's their deal. They can do what they want. I get that.
You realize Joe Biden is being characterized not by Crudy, but by the right, the machine, Foxy News, and others. This is a sign of weakness. This is capitulation. They can hold up this murderous merchant of death as the personification of evil. We traded evil for a WNBA star who got caught with a less than an ounce in a vial of cannabis.
Less than a gram. My bad. Clear. Yeah. It's just,
you know, wasn't trying to mischaracterize the crime.
He was a Russian arms dealer. CNN reporting he was a former military officer. He was serving a 25-year sentence in the United States on charges of conspiring to kill Americans, acquire and export anti-aircraft missiles, and provide material support to a terrorist organization. He has maintained he is innocent. So, again, not that he himself personally, you know, went up and shot someone in the head, murderer, just, you know, facilitated anti-aircraft missiles and other weapons to, you know, create carnage and murder throughout the world. Let's see what else we got here. I want to get a little background on this guy. The swap, which of course Biden confirmed on Thursday, did not include the other American, Paul Whelan. He's been detained, arrested for alleged espionage charges in 2018 and sentenced to 16 years in prison. He's still there. But Bout, the merchant of death, Victor Bout, a Russian businessman, he speaks six languages, was arrested in a sting operation in 2008, led by U.S. drug enforcement agents in Thailand, posing as the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, better known as FARC. He was eventually extradited to the U.S. in 2010 after a protracted court proceeding. Victor Bout has been an international arms trafficking enemy number one for many years, arming many of the most violent conflicts around the globe. Preet Bharara said he was a U.S. attorney in Manhattan. He said that in 2012. He was finally brought to justice in an American court for agreeing to provide a staggering number of military-grade weapons to an avowed terrorist organization committed to killing Americans. The trial honed in on Bout's role in supplying weapons to FARC, a guerrilla group that waged an insurgency in Colombia until 2016. The U.S. said the weapons were intended to kill U.S. citizens. But Bout's history in the arms trade extended much further afield. He's been accused of assembling a fleet of cargo planes to traffic military-grade weapons to conflict zones around the world since the 1990s, fueling bloody conflicts from Liberia to Sierra Leone and Afghanistan. Allegations of trafficking activities in Liberia prompted U.S. authorities to freeze his American assets in 2004 and blocked any U.S. transactions. So there's a little background, you know, just on the he's a shipper, you know, he's import export. He's a businessman.
Well, let me give you a little background of the Russian subject that was held. Brittany Griner is a 7-time WNBA All-Star. Only 7 players in league history have made more All-Star appearances. She was an honorary All-Star this year, and she also won 2 WNBA scoring titles and the league's block leader 8 times. So I guess I perhaps underestimated her arsenal, Tom. That's a hell of a stat line.
What if it was Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers, you know, he went down to South America, took some
ayahuasca.
Right.
Some hallucinogenics in South America.
You know, whatever, you got to set yourself straight. What if it was Aaron Rodgers that got picked up and, you know, same situation?
That's why we got Jordan Love, baby. That's why we got a backup quarterback.
Man, you know, is it the value of the entertainment that they are providing? Is that the value of a human being, or is it an American citizen that got caught up in some bunk BS by Putin trying to take advantage of obviously the situation? And how do you not try to get her back?
Dominic, we'll get to the phones in just a minute. Line them up at 844-96-PARTY. See, I did it the easy way there.
Good job, buddy.
I hate to say that I've tried to make a few similar points today as right-wing television host Karen Turk, who blasted President Joe Biden's administration after WNBA star Brittany Griner was released from a Russian prison. But some Well, I didn't make all the same points, but some January 6th rioters remain behind bars. Not exactly parallel, the argument I make here. A Turk seemed shocked on the Real America's Voice morning broadcast as news broke that Greiner had been traded for a Russian arms dealer. Wait a minute, she said. You knew that you knew what the laws were in that country, and you chose to smuggle marijuana in your bag, and we are trading an arms dealer for you? What? What is happening? Few parallels at that point. Turk complained that Greiner would be celebrated upon her return to the U.S. I have no problem with that aspect. They're going to make her some American hero. She's going to get on the front page of Vanity Fair, and she's going to get all dressed up, and she's going to be on the cover of Vogue. Mark my words, that's what's going to happen. Now, co-host Ed Henry noted that viewers were calling to release all the J6ers, referring to the January 6th defendants. And here's where we part. Turk agreed. It's sad, she opined. You think about all these people, these Americans that are just sitting there in a jail in a gulag. And we are releasing, you know, this entitled spoiled brat that went to a foreign country and broke a law. Good thing Trump never did. During the Miss World pageant in Moscow in, you know, like 2013 timeframe. Good thing no laws were broken, probably? Question mark?
Does it really even matter if you're in a country where despots rule? The laws are what they say they are at the time. Do you think Russian citizens are being sentenced to jail to 9 years for less than a gram of a vape? I mean, I highly doubt it, man. I mean, I really no, and I think that's perhaps one of the reasons why this Biden administration could consider this an unlawful detainment. I mean, this was strictly harassment by the Russian government, who happened to get their hands on an American citizen, and they played it to the full. Now, the guy, the arms dealer, right? He's done 10 years of a 25-year sentence.
Easy come, easy go. C'est la vie, Dom. You'll take it. Aren't you cavalier? 844.
Am I cavalier?
967-2789.
We ship arms, right? I mean, we're one of the biggest as the United States.
Yes, according to U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, we're selling them to the Yemenis because if we don't sell them, somebody else will.
Right on, dude. So that's what we do. And I get it. I mean, we don't want any weapons being sold to use against our side, but we engage in this ourselves. It's a big export of the United States. And because, you know, we do it, then it's all great. But I'm pretty sure some people, some, you know, random citizens on the receiving end of those bombs would have an issue with it.
844-96-PARTY. Annie from Watertown joined the party. What do you got for us?
Hey, Annie.
She's trying to go. This is just like a, you know, something she uses for her aches and pains. You know, I can see how she might have just missed it.
Annie, we're not hearing you real great. Are you got a son speaker or something? You got a speaker louder.
How's that better?
A little bit better. So, would it surprise you to find, Annie, that there's recent studies that have shown that marijuana actually has no medicinal value for the reduction of pain? It is purely a placebo effect. So if this woman, under Russian law, is using an off-script cannabis lotion that has no practical pain-relieving applications except whatever her heart tells her, the feeling is, Annie, does that matter at all? Does that factor into the math? It doesn't really relieve pain. That's what the studies say.
That's what a study says, Annie.
You know, some things where a lot of people are selling it, and then I wouldn't have had any pain in my 20s and 30s because I smoked up the wahooey more than anybody else. You know, I would have been. My sciatica and the aches and pains wouldn't have bothered me. But just coincidentally, last night I watched the Tom Hanks movie Bridge of Spies.
Yes, ma'am.
It was really, really interesting and shows the complexity of negotiating.
Well, Annie, it is complicated. You know, it's done. Higher brain functioning stuff. I'll tell you about it someday, Dom.
It's not really that complicated. I mean, you know, other desperate countries and governments love to kidnap Americans because there's value there. It doesn't have to be governments. It can be gangs. It could be anything. I mean, that if there's value there, some people will try to, hey, come on, it's capitalism. I got something that you want. I'll sell it back to you. Like, you know, an NBA star, and we want our trafficker back.
What's the phone number, Dom? Say it while you're listening to the song, I dare you.
844-967-2789. More segment for your take. We promise we'll get to it. 844-96-PARTY for the crudies out there.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can shout at the Devil's last segment of the day at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, Eugene Robinson at the Washington Post says, trading Brittany Griner for an arms dealer was a good deal. I just disagree. Pizza Box Mike. Your opinion valued here. What do you got for us, buddy?
Hey, Mike.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was a good deal. First of all, I've had to, you know, spend a lot of time explaining it to some of these white guys on social media, how let down they feel, how victimized they feel over her being set free. And since Dom mentioned FARC, I'm going to say nobody seems to give a FARC about who supplies all these weapons in our streets that are used specifically to murder Americans. Come on, man, what a joke. Of course, let them have that guy back. You wouldn't rather have that guy sitting in a prison here? Instead, send him over to Russia. He'll probably never be back here, right? And Brittany Griner didn't deserve to be there, man. I've been busted with a half ounce and 2 grams of that oil. I didn't go to jail. I didn't get arrested. I didn't get cuffed. I just got a ticket. And, of course, they took it away from me. That was the worst part.
Damn it. Well, and I think it's also, Mike, and thanks for the call, man. To it's fair to mention, she's black, right? And she's gay. So, you know, I'm sure the righties are not real fond of that. And apparently they've claimed that she hates America, so she may have some critical things to say. And God forbid you ever have some objective criticism of you, your neighbors, your country. I guess apparently you got to be all USA every day, all the time. And that's just not reality. And I think the point is that this was a BS charge. It was a BS hit. It was Russia playing games. And I'd rather have her here. And it would be, let's get to the point. Black lesbian NBA player who's not making, you know, the hundreds of millions of dollars like the other male NBA players in many cases with their salaries and their other deals made. It would be an international outrage if it was Aaron Rodgers. And nobody, none of the righties, man, all the righties here in the state of Wisconsin, they'd be like, oh, my God, that's our quarterback. You can't possibly do that. Even though, you know, they'd be all about it. You'd go get them now. Start a war for that. But because it's not, it's a black female gay basketball player who most righties didn't know about until this happened. Well, then it's a front on Joe Biden. It makes America look weak.
Slow down, my friend. You think that we would, let's say we use this example prior. Let's say Aaron Rodgers and his drug-fueled ayahuasca whatever in South America, let's say he would picked up streak in the quad, you know, got a little crazy in the moonlight, and he gets picked up, and he gets held, gets detained, and they decide it's a bigger deal. He didn't know it was a big deal, but it's a big deal. He's using an illicit drug, which is against the law in a foreign country, and he gets his ass thrown in the clink, like many Americans in Tijuana have through the years, Dom. And
for 9 years, Crudy? Come on, man. This is a BS trial.
What, you think we're gonna go invade South America because Aaron Rodgers got thrown in the clink?
Why are you saying South America? Let's put it in Russia. If it's same situation, different athlete that you like or care about or watch on a regular basis.
Because then I don't have to make it a hypothetical because Aaron Rodgers apparently did do illicit drugs.
No, I know he did. But I mean, you know, South America. People get thrown in jail for weed all the time around the world. I get that. It's bunk and BS no matter where it happens, especially here in the state of Wisconsin and in the United States of America. Number one. All right, let's just put that out there. Any country that has laws on the books against cannabis are a backward-ass country and have no right to do that. I mean, this is a human freaking right, man. Same with drinking booze. But okay, you're local, you got it. You get a slap on the wrist like everywhere else. You don't get a 9-year freaking term, Crudy, for less than a gram of a vape in any country, man. And any country that would do that is terrible. And everyone should certainly check themselves. We see how Russia, at least the government, has reacted. And I know the Russian citizens don't get those kinds of sentences. So what's happening here? Well, it's a joke, man.
Buddy, if you've got a misdemeanor first offense on your record in the state of Wisconsin, right now, I know
yes,
you do.
I do.
And somewhere, if I went looking through the old blue Cadillac, there's probably a vape cartridge in the seat, I would guess. I'm just speculating here. And if you got picked up for that, I'm not saying that would be a primary charge, but if you were in the commission of some other crime, there is some likelihood that you would be additionally charged with a felonious possession of THC.
In the laws as are written in the state of Wisconsin, you can get busted walking down the street in some places, smoking a joint, they could charge you. You could be busted again, smoking a joint, they could charge you with a felony. That's how the books work. And yes, that's total bunk and BS.
Well, I don't disagree, Dom. But if you know that is the rule of the road and you get busted.
Oh, come on, man. So, you know, you're not supposed to be gay and get married. You're not supposed to marry interracial marriage. There's all sorts of things that are legal and on the books. Doesn't make it moral.
So are you suggesting that this is some kind of conscientious objection on her part?
Not at all.
That she did this for anything other than.
But what am I pushing back on is the fact that you say, well, it's on the books. It's illegal. Number one is Russia. Number two, nobody else gets that sentence. And number three, if people still had that opinion, interracial marriage would still be illegal in the state in this country. Because it's all slavery was legal and on the books. All this stuff was legal and on the books until it's not. And there's some human rights to this man. Weed and booze? Are you freaking kidding me?
I really think that's quite a stretch for an analogy, even for you, my friend.
And what? Please let me know. Define it for me. How? Why?
We are talking about a known crime. She chose to play in Russia. You know what I mean? You don't have to sign that contract. There was financial upside. No one's suggesting that at $500,000 or whatever is a WNBA star. Maybe they make more in the NBA, but she is not destitute. She's not living on the streets. She's doing okay. So to suggest that she had... What she was doing was a crime when she was doing it? I doubt that.
I'm not saying that it is, but 9 years, Crudy. Come on, man. Are you freaking kidding me? Why not the $1,000 fine? Why not an $8,000 fine? You're going to put someone in jail for 9 years?
And you're suggesting that happens righteous? Here in the United States. It's on
no
the
one
books.
Goes to nine, no one goes to jail for 9 years for less than a gram of a vape cartridge.
Well,
Crudy.
Okay.
No, it doesn't happen.
Some small amount. There are people as a third strike that are sitting in jail to this day for minor marijuana offenses. That was the third straw.
Didn't
you know what
Biden
I mean?
Just literally pardon all those people?
On a federal side, how many state criminals you got in the state of Wisconsin?
Yeah, it seems like that some immoral BS should be fought against all the time. And this is a perfect example of it. It's just an excuse to persecute people.
Folks, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates, at least the Crudy parts. Want to remind you, Jim Santel is a fine guest. We got fine programming coming up tonight. Raised in the Wisco in the Shaw and right here, the Empowered Caregivers. Please keep it locked. Civic Media.
Hey, honey. Hey.
What the hell are you doing?
We're streaking.
You done messed up, A.A. Ron.